the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The words of an old hymn reminds us it's the season of joy. Another chorus announces, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel will ransom captive Israel. For many of us, joy may seem short-lived. Within a few days of Christmas holiday, we will discard mounds of gift wrappings. Then we will feel as if the joy went out with the wrappings. During the night of his betrayal at the Last Supper, Jesus reminds his disciples, there is a way to keep joy. Keep the commands of God, and you may keep the joy. John 15, 9 through 11 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In the heavenly circle of love, we may find joy. We are invited into that circle of love if we keep Jesus' commandments. As we gather around the table, we are reminded of this simple command, do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Mighty God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. We just ask you to grant us the joy of Christmas as we remember your Son. Father, I just pray that you watch on the ones, Lord, that are about to partake in your communion, remembering your Son, that he was born 2,000 years ago, Lord, and laid in a manger. But Father, we know as he grew and he lived, eventually he was crucified on a cross, dying for our sins out of love for us. Father, I just pray that you watch over all that are partaking. Help us to be witnesses to others. Help us to be witnesses that someone here might not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Good to see you here this morning. Did you all get a chance to open your presents already? Nope, you haven't opened them yet. Okay, so those of you who have want me to hurry up so you can go home and play with them. And those of you who haven't, you want me to hurry up so you can go home and open them, right? I'll see what I can do for you. Please look over the announcements notice. No Wednesday Bible study this Wednesday night. Next Sunday's New Year's Day. We'll be having regular services like we usually do. The Christmas cards are out here. Please, if you get a chance, look, see if you have any cards. You might think, oh, I don't have any cards, but please look and see. Take those cards home with you, if you would. Let's see, who else? What else do we have? Please look over the other announcements. Remember that this Tuesday is the funeral service for Melissa Hoover. So 6 o'clock Tuesday night. Please keep that family in your prayers. As you look at your prayer list, please remember Bill Smiley. Bill is home, out of the hospital now. Keep him in your prayers. Bill has got like 14 or 16 units of blood. Never heard anybody getting that much, but he's home doing well right now, and he's not bleeding. Keep in your prayers that he doesn't start bleeding again. Please add to your prayer list Sean Rabb. He has cancer just discovered, and the doctors are determining what type of treatment, so please keep him in your prayers. They'll be able to treat that. And also keep in your prayers the family of Albert Kincaid. Albert passed away this last week. That his sister, Michelle, keep her in your prayers if you would. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. Let's use our imagination a little bit this morning. And let's suppose you had a really great job. Now, some of you do have really great jobs, but you're on the top of a tall building, the penthouse. You have a corner office with glass all around, and you get to look out and see everything. You make good money. You make a couple million dollars a year, then you get a $3 million a year bonus. So you have a good job. And one day, the boss walks into your office and says, you know, I want to talk to you. You've been doing a great job and everything's fine, but there are some people who are not doing as well as you in our business, and they need help. So I want to know if you'd be interested in taking a voluntary demotion. You've done a good job. It's nothing that you've done. We're not firing you or anything like that. If you decide not to take the demotion, that's fine. It's up to you. But there are people in the company that need help, and if you take this demotion, it would help them. Now, would you take that demotion voluntarily? Just go ahead and take that demotion? Well, that'd be a hard thing to do. So, you know, the person's probably going to think, well, what does a demotion mean? What does he mean? I'm being demoted voluntarily. What? Financially, you know, what's that going to do to my family? All that. So, you ask the boss, can you tell me a little more? Because, you know, this is going to affect my family. And the boss says, yeah, we're going to cut your salary from $2 million down to $15,000 a year. We're going to cut your vacation weeks from 6 weeks to 3 days. And those 3 days, we're not going to pay you. We will no longer contribute to your retirement plan. You're going to get health insurance, but it's not going to be worth anything. You will not be receiving any bonuses at all. You can't use any bathroom in our building. You have to go across to the Exxon station to use the bathroom. Now, after hearing all that, would you be ready to say, boy, that's what I was waiting for. That's what I was hoping for. I'm glad you asked me to do that. Nobody would volunteer for that type of demotion. Most people want promoted. They don't even want to stay where they are. They want to step up. They want to move up. They want to climb up. They want higher pay. They want raises, new benefits, stepping down and losing all that. People want to move up, not even stay the same. So the thought of taking a voluntary demotion is not even on most people's radar screen. But I know someone, and you know someone, who took a voluntary demotion, the demotion of all demotions to benefit others, to benefit you and I. His name is Jesus. He wasn't forced to take the demotion. He did not do anything wrong that earned him this demotion. He took the demotion of all demotions so we could get a promotion. So we can move up from death to life, from earth to heaven, from time to eternity. Just a little over 2,000 years ago, when the angel Gabriel visited a young girl, a virgin named Mary, he said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." And Mary said, "How can that be? I'm a virgin." And Gabriel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." There you have it. The greatest stoop ever. The demotion of all demotions. The Son of God stepped down from heaven to be placed in the womb of a virgin, to be born a baby on Christmas Day. Now, in order to understand how great this voluntary demotion was, how big this step down from heaven was, we need to understand something about Jesus' place before he took this step down. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made." And then verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then Philippians chapter 2 tells us, "Each of you should not look not only to your own interest, but also the interest of others." Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now these verses are just a few verses that remind us of who Jesus is. He is God. He's part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, "He," that is Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God. For by him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible. Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. This baby born to Mary existed before he was born. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He always was, always is, always will be. He was the one who spoke the world into existence. He is the one who created man. The angels did his bidding. The inhabitants of heaven gathered around his throne and cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He held the greatest, most honorable, most powerful position in the universe. He was the owner of everything in the universe. And he took this voluntary demotion for your benefit and my benefit. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He humbled himself and took on the form of a man. He became flesh. The angel told Joseph and Mary they would have a child and they should call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, when Richard Nixon was president, he made the statement that the greatest moment in human history was when man walked on the moon. Billy Graham was quick to correct him. He said the greatest moment of humankind was when God walked on earth. Jesus is God with us. He came to earth. He took the form of a man to experience our weaknesses, our disappointments, our troubles, our temptations. He took the form of a man to identify with us. We can never say God doesn't understand what we're going through. He not only understands what we're going through, he experienced what we're going through. He knows what it's like to be hungry and to be tired. He knows what it's like to get the tar beaten out of you, to be falsely accused and lied about, betrayed, deserted by his friends, to have no place to lay his head, to be penniless, to grieve, to be criticized. He knows what it's like to suffer emotionally and mentally and physically. He knows what it's like to be tempted and attacked. He knows what it's like to die. He chose to make himself nothing. He chose to take on the form of a man. He traded his throne in heaven for a manger on earth. He traded being clothed in the glory of heaven for swaddling cloths. He was born that Christmas day. He traded his omnipotence for the utter helplessness of a baby. He traded his omniscience for the mind of a baby. He traded his omnipresence for being able to move from one place to another just when somebody carried him. The one who spoke the world into existence now can't even feed himself. The one who fills everything with his presence now has to learn how to walk. The one who sustains creation by his power of his might has to work now even to lift up his head. Jesus took the demotion of demotions. He leaves heaven, he comes to earth, and what a step down that is. He takes on human flesh, that's a step down. He submits himself to death on the cross, that's a step down. We have no idea what type of step down he took for us. We have no concept of the space between heaven and Calvary. When he willingly left heaven for earth, he knew what he was in for. He knew what was going to happen. He didn't think he was going to be born in a palace. He knew he was going to be born and laid in a manger. He knew he was going to die upon the cross. He knew all that, and yet he did it. The question is why? If Jesus knew all that before he left, why would he take such a demotion? Well, he did it because we needed him to. Because of our sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Paul in the book of Romans reminds us, there is none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned. Now, that's not something we like to admit, and our society doesn't like to use the word sin. Calvin Miller writes, the word sinful was once considered to be an important part of theology, but of late, it is only an adjective we apply to gooey desserts and women's perfume. I saw a little cartoon in Leadership Magazine where a number of people from the church had got a petition, and they went into the preacher's office, and they said, preacher, this petition requests that your sermons change. In your sermons, you change the term sinner to those who are morally challenged. We don't like that term sinner or sin. But the fact is, we have all sinned. We are all sinners. And that's why Jesus came. Remember what the angel said to Joseph? You're to call this baby Jesus because he will save the people from their sin. He took that step down to save us. He took that step down because he loves us. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Max Lucado writes, aren't you glad John 3:16 doesn't say, for God so loved the rich, or for God so loved the famous, or for God so loved the fat, or God so loved the thin, or God so loved men 50 years old and older who still have hair? It doesn't say that. Nor does it say, for God so loved the Europeans, or God so loved the Africans, or God so loved the sober, or God so loved the successful, or the young or the old. No, it says, God so loved the world. God loves everyone. That's how big, that's how encompassing his love is. That's why Jesus came. That's why he stooped down, because he loved us. I read a story about a 28-year-old woman named Carla Ardonji. Carla Ardonji. Tragically, after hearing from the doctor that she was pregnant, she also found out that she had cancer. And after a number of tests, it was determined that she needed treatment. And the treatment for the cancer, the baby would not live. So she had to determine whether to get the treatment for the cancer or not. She had to determine whether she was going to live, because it was treatable and curable, or if her baby was going to live. And Carla and her husband prayed about it. They talked about it. And Carla decided she was not going to get the treatment. Whatever happened to her, okay. But she was going to give birth to that baby. And she did. It was a cesarean birth. And 4 hours after giving birth, Carla died. She named her son Stefano. And you can imagine, as Stefano got older, and his dad told him the story about his mother's love and her sacrifice, would Stefano ever question whether or not his mother loved him? Well, you see, Jesus did the same thing for you and me. And his love and his stepping down from heaven to earth on that first Christmas makes a real difference in our lives and makes a real difference in our futures. He came to save us. He came to serve us. He came to help us. He came to help us do life as we raise our family and we face tough times. He came to take us home. He came for our benefit. Now remember that passage in Philippians. It says, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He stepped down to save us and to serve others. You know, and that's what he wants us to do. Christmas is not just about getting. Christmas is about giving ourselves to help others. And that's the attitude we should have this Christmas. Too many people on Christmas have this attitude where they get angry quickly and they get hurt quickly and they get upset quickly. And it's me first and I deserve. But the attitude Christ wants us to have is one that humbly steps down and reaches out to help others. Even though it's costly, even though it might take sacrifice, even though it's hard. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you shall look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. That's a real challenge for us this Christmas. That as we look forward in just a week to start 2023, that we think of what our Lord did for us, and that we take on that attitude and we do what we can to help others. It's good to have you here this morning. If you're a Christian, that's a challenge for you. If you need to make the decision to be a Christian, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. And if you need to make that decision, if you come forward, we can take your confession. And even though you can't see the baptistry, we can still baptize you this morning into Christ Jesus. So let's stand as we sing our invitation hymn together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.